With us this morning, we've got Dale Altia-Stevens. He's the Director of Māori Partnership at New Zealand Trade and Enterprise. Tēnā koe, Dale.
Ātamari,
he So, what's happening, you know, the tourism sector and the government should learn from State Highway 25 reopening early. Wasn't that an amazing achievement, particularly for Coromandel and the local economy?
Yeah, look, it was, and I think a couple of things there. One is the ability to fast-track the continuing project to get the thing done, and a general willingness on all sides to get it completed and get the bridge finished and get the area open. But it, what I find quite amazing is the lesson in this, and I hope that the government and the various, I guess, agencies involved in this piece of work understand that we've just released the figure that GDP in that area has gone up $86 million so far this year, an $86 million increase. So if you think about that in terms of the summer period, tourism opportunities becoming more available in that area, and then you think about what's happening with the like of the Brindirwins about to close, the issue with the Mangamukas, and it makes you realise the reliance that we have as a country on our infrastructure being operable for us to succeed in our region. I mean, we know that when you've got a clear route to market through cities, that's fine for those businesses that are located in their cities. But when you look at our regions, and I just heard comments in your news before about people potentially having to leave their areas to look for work. Well, that's one of those issues that we could resolve if we could only get a decent infrastructure plan in place that gets these issues around roading and around public facilities and things like hotel infrastructure for tourism. These are really important to our local economy and for our whānau, because so many of our whānau enterprises are based in regions for which that main road in is hugely crucial. And so I hope that the lesson from State Highway 25A has well and truly been learned, because it's absolutely vital to our people.
Infrastructure seems to be a real concern throughout the country, not just roads. I'm looking at water. We were talking to the Prime Minister about water, and, yes, you know, if you don't have water in a town, nobody wants to go there.
Well, you're absolutely right. And look, the latest one in the last 48 hours is around the state of our police stations. Not so much, again, the cities, but in the regions. I know from my time in the police that many of these stations were old when I was in the police, and they were built in the 60s. And they're still relying on the same buildings there. So infrastructure, water, buildings, hospital facilities, these are hugely important. And I would like to think that we can develop an infrastructure plan going forward that is bounded by a 30 to 50 year time frame, not a 3 year time frame.
Oh, yes, that would be awesome if we could have a long term strategy for our country. But I'm looking at the Tapu Wairua series of Māori entrepreneurship wānanga to support Māori businesses, startup businesses.
Yeah, look, I'm in Wellington at the moment working with a range of government agencies, and one of the things that I hear time and time again through different government agencies who are trying to attract Māori startups, Māori businesses, groups wanting to get involved in some kind of economic enterprise, because a range of government agencies have money available, but I think one of the problems we have is that we're not getting that message out to our people of what support is available to help with startups. And I look at organisations like Tapu Wairua, and they're doing their roadshows at the moment, and they are absolutely focused on getting out to grassroots communities, explaining and engaging with people who have an idea or have an opportunity to create an enterprise. And really, there are so many avenues available to help Pākehā Māori. I struggle with how we get that message across in a more meaningful way to encourage our whānau to come forward, because there's very much support there. And if we're talking about an export-led recovery for Aotearoa New Zealand, we've got to get as many of these business aspirations up and functioning. So Tapu Wairua, excellent. Tapu Toa, excellent. A number of government programs that are in place and are being used, also excellent. But there's so much more that is available and so much more we can do. We've just got to make that contact with our whānau.
And how do you do that? How do you get out to let whānau say you've got a little business in Whakatāne? And how do you find out what help is available?
Well, I do know that from one or two of the government agencies, they have regional representatives. So if we look at Puni Kokiri, for example, who are they are probably best known for providing opportunities for Māori and have the best communications networks into regions. But a number of other government agencies are trying to be doing the same things. I know that the agency I'm with, we do our best to have regional representatives, and we've got a large Māori business unit that specifically targets the region, specifically targets creating capital opportunities to invest in Māori businesses at regional level to get them up and get up and running. So I guess if anybody is listening today, for example, and they want to get involved, want to see what opportunities there are for support, first port of call to Puni Kokiri. For example, we know that 60% of the Māori economy is based around the primary sector. And I know that the Ministry for Primary Industries, Māori Business Unit there, only too keen to hear from our whānau who have opportunities that they want to explore. So there are definitely opportunities through a range of government agencies, and we're only too happy to talk any time and explaining exactly what could be there to help.
Oh, excellent. And how's our tourism going?
Yeah, we've been watching it closely over the summer. The numbers look like they're going to, for the end of what we call the high season, will probably be across the country, certainly better than last year, certainly trending up, but we're still about 1 million visitors per year below what we were in 2019. If you recall back to just before COVID, the tourism sector was knocking on the door of becoming the number one revenue earner for the country. So we're about 1 million people short of that. And when you look at the breakdown of where these people tend to come from, we know that between 50 and 60% of our visitor numbers from overseas are from Australia. Those numbers are not quite back, but we know that number two prior to COVID was from China. Now, China, the numbers have fallen away quite drastically in the last 3 years, but they have shown signs this year of growing. So everything's trending in the right direction, but, you know, I don't want to overdo the phrase because it was quite commonly used last Sunday, but I think the tourism sector is still reasonably fragile, hugely dependent on getting those numbers of inbound visitors up, getting flights into the country. We're still waiting to get our, I guess, the full schedule of flights back into the country. What we have seen, which is really pleasing, is that domestic spend on tourism around the country is climbing really nicely. And we think that'll climb even more. As people get that, I guess, the frustration of the last few years of not being able to travel overseas to see whānau, they'll get that out of their systems, do those overseas trips, and then they'll start to use their time back in New Zealand. So it's all trending in the right direction. But for our whānau, particularly in the regions, we've got to be so careful because they're currently surviving on very low cash flow, and I think they're probably a season and a half away from getting back to where we would like to be.
And, of course, it all links back to your first point about making sure that we've got the infrastructure to support this.
Yeah, look, absolutely right. And we know, for example, that some of our Māori tourism activities are starting to get some really good coverage internationally. I think about Omatoroa Eco Tours. They were listed in the National Geographic just recently as one of the world's outstanding eco tours, based around the mahi they've done for many years on preserving and growing their kiwi population in the local forest. So, you know, it's that kind of PR and reach internationally that will bring people into the country, and that will bring people to our Māori experiences. I think about the work we've done on the West Coast at the moment in conjunction with WETA workshops around creating immersive experiences. These kind of initiatives by our whānau are getting great international recognition. That will start to bring the numbers up, while at the same time we have to lean on the government to get the basics of our infrastructure right.
Yes, ka pai, thank you very much. It all sounds very exciting time, really, because it's growing. At least it's growing.
Look, it's not just growing in tourism. If we look at across the Māori business sector, it's absolutely growing, and we've seen some great new startup initiatives, especially in areas that are away, I guess, from the primary sector, from what we can produce on the land. And so many of our rangatahi now are getting into the digitech space, the biotech space. And these are really exciting opportunities because there are certain advantages to not having to put your product on a ship. You know, if you can move it across the internet, there's some certain efficiency gains and opportunities there that are really great for our regions and for our rangatahi especially.
Yeah, it's exciting times too for that. And I do know we just spoke to Shane Todima about the conference coming up in Whakaata Māori and looking at some of the new initiatives in the screen industry as well and sharing Indigenous communities.
Yeah, look, I listened to Shane with some interest because I know well, the vicissitudes of the traditional television model. And the movement away from what you see on the TV as to what you get through an immersive or any type of experience through other devices. So those, you can see them as a challenge or you can see them as a great opportunity. And from listening to Shane, he sees it as a great opportunity for us to diversify and really, you know, get amongst it really in that sector. And I think that's hugely exciting going forward.
Well, thank you very much for your time. No, we'll look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Kia ora, ka kite.
Kia ora.